Om Shanti. So what I'll do in this meditation is just read out a little bit of Avyakta Bhaktadas Murlis on this subject. Today, the double foreigners have especially made very sweet complaints. Have you double foreigners complained? The double foreigners told Father Brahma, "If you had waited another 2 to 3 years, we too would have seen you." So Brahma Baba smiled and jokingly said, "So, speak to the drama and ask the drama why it did that." However, this example of those coming last and going fast had to be created in Bharat and also abroad. Therefore, now show the practical proof of coming last and going fast. Just as today you celebrated the Day of Power, right? So it was 18th of January 2002. So just as today you celebrated the Day of Power, in the same way, let every day be a day of power. Let there be no type of upheaval. On this day, Father Brahma gave the teachings in 3 words: incorporeal, viceless and egoless. Become an embodiment of the teachings of these 3 words. Be incorporeal in your thoughts, egoless in your words, and viceless in your actions. In a second, come into the corporeal form, and in a second, remain stable in the incorporeal stage. Repeatedly practice this throughout the day. Let it not be that you remain stable in the incorporeal stage only when you sit down for remembrance. But every now and then, make time to practice becoming detached from the consciousness of the body and remain stable in the form of the incorporeal soul. Whatever task you are performing, whilst doing that, practice, "I, the incorporeal soul, am making these physical senses work." The incorporeal stage is the stage of being Karavanhar, the one who makes the senses work. The physical senses are Karanhar, the one who does. And the soul is Karavanhar, the one who makes others do. With the stage of the incorporeal soul, you automatically remember the incorporeal Father. Therefore, throughout the day, check: do I, the soul, perform actions as Karavanhar? Now make the machinery to give liberation work fast. Liberation to all the souls. This is 30th November 2002. The main aim of the coming year is the awareness of these 3 words: incorporeal, egoless, and viceless. There shouldn't even be a trace. The gross form is fine, it's finished. But there shouldn't even be a trace, because it is the trace that deceives you. Ansmatra, even a slight bit will deceive us. The meaning of follow the Father is constantly to keep these 3 words in your awareness. Okay, we'll stop there and have others later. Thank you. So just 5 minutes. Any thoughts on this morning? Any feelings, any thoughts, any comments, any experience? Love the dancing, okay. So what did you love about it? You're just saying that, or? No, but see, no, let's look at this. Why we love to dance. Because actually we want to become children again, right? It's back to, we don't want to be serious. So anytime the music comes on, you know, we want to go back to that inner child again. And what's nice about the Brahmin dancing is, you know, you just dance, you don't look at anyone. In the Lokic world, you're kind of conscious of, you know. So why can't we just let go like that all the time? Anything else? Is translation okay? How things can release. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying...
Say who you are, where you're from.
So I'm Karen and I live in London. From Inner Space in Covent Garden. And yeah, I was just really just reflecting on the session and this afternoon just in a bit of downtime. And just being in the atmosphere of Madhaban, it was just really special, just how there's so much more kind of safety and comfort and yeah, it kind of really took away the, you know, the kind of the stuff that's there with ego. Yeah, and I saw a thread of something, I won't go into the specifics right now, but I just saw a thread of something that was kind of been around for a long time, and I saw how it had connected to lots of other things, and then really kind of exploring like being a trustee more and how that would really free things up hugely. Yeah, so yeah, it was interesting. Sorry, a bit nervous.
Is that the ego? yeah, I hope you all got that. So yeah, this is another point to think about. Especially, actually I wanted to spend the first 15-20 minutes talking about Brahmin life. And we have to be careful, like, with the subject of, is it ego or is it responsibility? Because as I was sharing with someone this example that, so say you're in the center and somebody says, oh, should I do a course next month? Should I do the introductory course? Should I do the positive thinking course? So, if that comment, statement is made, is it ego or is it self-respect or is it responsibility? Like, how do we know where it's coming from? What would you say? What would you check? You understanding the question? Somebody says, I'm going to do this. How do we know whether it's ego or a necessity or what? How do we know? Like Karen says, okay, to Aarti. Aarti, should I do a positive thinking course next month? How do we know whether it's ego or self-esteem, self-respect? Are you understanding or do I need to clarify more? Understanding? Okay, yeah. Any answers? Intention of? The motivation, yeah. Check the intention. What's the intention behind it? So when would it be ego? if the same? If the answer was no and she got hurt, yeah, good. Yeah. Any other answers? Oh, yeah, okay, I got the pleasure, the joy, I got the recognition, everybody loved me. So now, yeah, so who's going to check all this? Who's going to check? Aarti's going to check or Karen has to check herself? Huh? Yeah, the self. Okay, only you can know from what place you're coming. And yes, Aarti would say yes, you know, like, yeah, go ahead, do the course. But only you can check yourself and know, like, you know, have I done it with the right intention or is it an ego boost? But also, what I want to draw out, I mean, what I want to point out is this aspect of responsibility. Like, there's many times that I initiate things and I just feel there's a need for it. And yes, it could be somebody else, doesn't have to be me, but it's this kind of checking. The thing is, the course needs to be done. So Karen's pointed it out, and yeah, maybe Aarti says, well, maybe, you know, whoever, somebody else, Josefina can do the course. So at that point, yes, I shouldn't get hurt, because my intention was to just offer another course and to make it available to others. So it's not necessarily that I have to be the one to do it. So back to this, yes, if it hurts, then yes, it's ego. If it hurts, it's ego. If it hurts, it's ego. If it hurts, it's ego. Yeah? But I do want to say that in the name of, you know, doing something, we shouldn't always think it's ego, because this is where Brahmins sometimes don't initiate. Because they get confused and then they say, no, it's my ego. And really, I mean, Baba Seva has to get done. And we have to learn the art of doing the Seva. So we better just do it and polish ourselves, polish our sanskars, work on the ego and get the Seva done. Do you see? Because there's so much Seva and such few hands that Seva has to get done. So why don't we see it as a motivator for growth rather than as a stump, you know, that's something that stops you. And this is where the self-respect comes in, actually. This is where I need to really respect myself, respect my time, respect the knowledge that I have. And, you know, put yourself forward. Now, regarding my cases, let's say, like, I never invite myself anywhere. If somebody invites me, then the first thing I do is I forward that message to Sister Jenti, because she's still my senior, she's still the Middle East head. And I just say, what do you think? And of course, 99% of the time, it's yes, go ahead. So, because I just want to check that it's not, you know, my personal interest. Once she said yes, then I feel like, yes, Baba is sending me. And then we go ahead with the rest of the steps. So, you know, I know that Sister Jenti used to check with Dadi, so that's where I've learned that from, living in London. So if you're not sure about something, check. Check with your senior, you know, check to see if, you know, that's something that you should be doing or not. And then this becomes your filter for checking the ego, really. Any other comments? Well, you're still meaning I, aren't you? So then you're not being honest. You're being humble, but you're not being honest. Well, another way to do that is you can say, should there be another meditation course? Right? So you're just reminding the instrument, should there be another meditation course. So it's not about me or you, but you're reminding them, yes. And then, okay, who's the best person to do it? But we get caught in this sometimes, the royal we. We really mean I, but it's we. Right? Yeah, I think we have to be careful about that, because it's still I, but I'm still trying to camouflage that I. Anybody else? Naseema from Kuwait.
Om Shanti. I do really accept that it comes from the inner self, which is the ego or no. But actually, sometimes it is also the others that can't tell it is ego or not, because your vibes and the things other can sense it, and they think that it's really your ego or not. So it's both ways. You can decide which is ego or not from inner self, and others can sense it from your vibes. Of course, the sensitive people can do it accurately, but in general, it can be measured.
Okay. Can I comment? we have to be careful about that too, because it could be the other person's ego that doesn't want you to do it. You know? So it could be the other person trying to put you down. So that's where we have to be careful about other people's judgment about what I'm saying. Like, you know, there could be very enthusiastic people who just want to help, be nice, be kind. And to somebody else, you know, who doesn't want to be nice and kind, you know, they may not appreciate this person's behavior. So it's actually called the tall poppy syndrome, right? It's from Australia. Who's from Australia? Yeah, you know about it, right? Yeah. Yeah, see? So the tall poppy syndrome is when the poppy grows tall, they cut it, because they want them all to be same length. So this is what happens. People usually, when they see somebody excelling, they cut them down in some shape or form, like they stop them from doing what they're doing, they don't appreciate it. So we have to be careful about that. Yes, others can tell, it's my ego, of course others can tell, but we also have to be careful of other people's ego or blocking. So that's why I'm saying the best is here, and to sit with Baba and to say, really, is my intention the purest? Yeah. Okay. So, let's start with a few thoughts. So, once Dadi had shared that to have a thought means to create sorrow. And what she meant by that is this thought in the sense of desire. When you have a thought, like sankalap, in Hindi the sankalap can also imply sometimes a desire. So anytime a desire comes up, you're actually starting the momentum of giving yourself sorrow. Now, let me point out that, look at Brahma Baba. What was the maximum audience of Brahma Baba? What was the maximum audience? How many? What in figures, in numbers, was Brahma Baba's maximum audience? Huh? 300? Let's say 400. Let's say 500. Okay? There wasn't an audience bigger than that. So, do you need big audiences to become perfect? Do you need to have a big audience, a big class, as part of the package to become perfect? No. Was Mama or Baba ever on TV? No. And in fact, you know, with Brahma Baba, twice Brahma Baba made a plan to go to London, but then he never traveled. Because actually his astrologer told him that it's not good for you to sit on the plane. It's not good for you to go to another country. So he didn't. So Brahma Baba didn't sit on the plane, they were not in social media, not on YouTube, nothing. And he became perfect. So what does that tell us? Do I have to become famous to become perfect? No. So we can't say, oh, he wasn't famous, that's why he's humble. No. What was Brahma Baba and Mama's focus? It was to become perfect. And I keep coming back to this. We have to create stage. We have to create our stage. And that's what you have to keep reminding yourself all the time. I'm here to create my stage. I'm not here to compete. I'm not here to compare. I'm here to become perfect and create my stage. And look at all these dadis, look at all the, over there, there's all the advanced party souls. All of them were waiting for destruction. Has destruction come? But they've gone. They created their stage and they left. So, are we sitting around for destruction? The young ones, are you waiting for destruction? Even the last couple of months, 5 souls have left their body in Gujarat, in Singapore. And so really time waits for no one. So we're not here waiting for destruction. We are here to create our stage. And if that means, you know, sacrificing the ego, then yeah, that's what we have to do. So Baba had said, if you don't understand the Raz, you become Naraz. Raz, secrets. Naraz, upset. He said, if you don't understand the secrets of the drama, you become upset. So back to my ego crunch. There's reasons why things are happening the way they are, and let me just understand the secret. You know, sometimes if somebody is meant to have that front seat, it's that. That's what that soul needs. I don't need it. You know, imagine there are 2 children on the plane and mommy says that, both of them want the window seat, okay? And mommy's saying, no, please, stop arguing, stop fighting. Both of them want the window seat. Can both of them have the window seat at one time? No. So one of them says, okay, let him have the window seat. So what will mommy say? Good boy. Right? The one who sacrificed, he will be loved, right? But the one who is stubborn, will he be loved? Yeah, but slightly less. So here too, when you say, okay Baba, I'm giving this up, I'm sacrificing this, who's going to get more love? Who's going to get more blessings? The one who is sacrificing. And really, blessings help us to oil the wheels of our life. That's what we should be looking out for, is how many blessings can I earn through this? Again, it's not a question of asking or wanting, but how many blessings can I earn through this? And at the end of the day, who will be happier? The one who is sacrificed. The one who has renounced. The one who is the trustee. So, do you want Ram's inheritance or Ravan's? Which inheritance you want? What is Ravan's inheritance? Sorrow. Yeah, vices bring sorrow. And Baba's inheritance? Happiness. Ram's inheritance was the kingdom. He got the kingdom back. And I don't know if you know this story, but you know when Ram killed Ravan, When Ram killed Ravan, he was still half dead and lying there. And you know what he told Lakshman to do? He told Lakshman to go and take knowledge from Ravan. He said, learn from him. Take his wisdom before he dies. So what happened is Lakshman went, and Lakshman just stood by his head. And so Ravan didn't speak. So Lakshman came back to Ram and said, he's not telling me, he's not speaking, I forget it, you know, like, because he didn't want to humble. He was very mad at Ravan. He didn't have as big a heart as Ram to forgive Ravan for kidnapping Sita. And then Ram said, Lakshman, if you want to learn from the Guru, you have to go stand by his feet, not on his head. And so then Lakshman went to his feet. And that's when Ravan humbled and explained all his, well, confessed all his mistakes. And that's how Lakshman took the wisdom. So here too, if we want to learn, yeah, we have to humble. We have to humble to the learning. And everyone, that's the point, everyone can teach us something. Even our enemy can teach us something. There's a lesson to learn in everything. The other point Baba mentions often in the Murali is har mani. Har, defeat, mani, accept defeat, and you create harmony. Har mani brings harmony, unity. So I always say, like, choose your battles. Choose your battles. In other words, let go of this. Let go of this battle to win the big war. What is the big war? The big war is to keep my inner peace intact. To hold on to my peace and happiness. That's the biggest war that I'm fighting, right? Is no matter what, not to let go of my peace and happiness. So if I have to give up something here now, with someone, accept that defeat. Lose this battle to win this war. Because at the end, only you have yourself to blame if you give away your power. Okay, this was another thing from the Murali Baba said. Baba said, sit on the throne of humility. And only then the task will be successful. Namrata ke takt. So Baba says, all day you deal with four things, right? One is kursi. Kursi means chair, or in Baba's language, throne. Next is kalam, the pen. Next is file, files at work. And next is bhagdor, like you're running around at work. So Baba said, these are the four things. So kursi, Baba said, sit on your throne. When you sit on your seat at work, sit on the throne of humility. Namrata ke takt. Then the kalam. So Baba said, kalam rhymes like kamal. So Baba says, as you're writing, stay detached, stay on the lotus. Kamal. Remember the lotus flower and then do your work. So stay engrossed but detached. Then the file, right? These paper files. So Baba says, remember your chart and see how Baba sees your chart. How does Baba see your chart? So keep note of your daily chart as you go through those files. And then bhagdor, so this is running around. So Baba says, this is climbing the ladder, going up and down. That's the ladder of 84 birds. So spinning the cycle. And so Baba is saying, this is what will keep you detached and humble. So yeah, as we talked a lot about ego this morning, we said that ego appears bringing all its offspring with itself. So does ego come alone? No. It brings anger, it brings denial, it brings criticism, complaint, what else? Help me. Blaming. Huh? Defending. You're not experienced? Only I'm experienced with ego? Huh? Jealousy, possessiveness, controlling, doubting, impatience. Yeah? Lying sometimes. Resisting, worrying, overprotecting, right? So ego doesn't come alone, it brings all these traits with it. So we have to, as we said, as we kill the ego, we will become less and less of this. And that's the freeing feeling, isn't it? Okay, so let's talk now about self-esteem. So actually, when one is in high ego, one is in very low self-esteem. Yeah? And when one is in very low self-esteem, they're in very high ego. And we know this, right? We teach this in the course to the students, that because there's very low self-esteem inside, so we build up an empire outside of ourselves. That's why the yogi or the renunciate doesn't need anything. Because they are solid from inside out. Right? You know the story of this American who came to see this sannyasi, right? This sage. And he says, "Oh, why is your room so empty? Like, where are all your possessions?" So the sage said, "Well, where are all your possessions?" So the American said, "Well, I've come here as a guest from America, so I don't have any possessions." So the sage said, "Well, I'm equally a guest in this world, so I don't have any possessions." So imagine that kind of feeling of really having very little and yet being so content from inside. So this is the parallel. I mean, this is also, I think, how you can gauge. The less things I need from out there, the more content I am from inside. But the more things I need from out there, the less contentment I have inside. This is the scale, you can say. And every time my buddhi goes out there for this and this and this, it's going away from my true self, my pure self. And in a way, I'm betraying myself, aren't I? Because in a way, I'm ignoring myself. I'm saying, "Well, you're not good enough. Let me try this, let me try this." And that's why there needs to be a lot of love for the self, a lot of approval. We'll do those exercises in a minute. But a lot of, you know, self-approval, self-love for the self. Because others are not necessarily going to do that to you. But you have to do it for yourself. Why do we seek respect from outside? Why? Because we don't respect ourselves. Okay, how should we respect ourselves? How should I respect myself? By believing in myself? If I act according to my conscience? Appreciate the self? Love, you said? Love the self? Yeah. Also respect the time. Respect your time. Respect your things. If you don't respect, if I just throw this on the floor, what will you do with my other things? You will also throw them on the floor. You'll say, "She doesn't care, so leave it." So in the same way, if I'm respecting myself, then yeah, other people will respect as well. Right? So respect is, yeah, really from inside out. Don't expect others to respect you if you don't respect yourself. Really. It's a law. It's a fact. Don't be waiting for respect. First ask yourself, do I respect myself? This is also where we're actually investing in growing the sorrow. You see? We're investing our time in making the sorrow grow because I'm waiting for that respect from you and it's not coming. So every day I'm waiting. Is she going to respect me today? Is she going to respect me tomorrow? But let me look in the mirror and say, you know what? I love you. I respect you. Same thing with love. How are you going to get love? If you love yourself. Yeah, I know we know these things, but are we practicing it? Love yourself. Everyone go like this? With love. Not just because I'm telling you. Just be kind. Just love yourself. Say you're really great. Yeah? And really, if you're making the internal effort, it will come from a place of purity and not ego. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to point out something else as I was talking about the Brahmin life. So I remember some years ago when I was translating for Dadi in London, and when people used to come and see her, you know, they'd ask Dadi, now, you know, I have this money, what should I do with it? Should I buy a house? Should I invest it? Should I give it to Baba? Or I'm getting this job in this place, should I go? Or I'm getting a promotion, should I take it? It means this, this and this. You know, many times, many people would come with such questions and Dadi would hear them out and then Dadi would say, do this or do that or do the other. Then there came a turning point in Dadi, which was probably like early 90s, where when somebody would come to Dadi, Dadi would say, what do you think? So they put their case to Dadi, and now Dadi was not going to make that decision for them. Because Dadi wanted them to be responsible. And Dadi wanted them to learn. You see? And not only that, like not only encouraging kind of a sense of self-worth, but from the decisions Dadi had made, there was a backlash of that. Where people were blaming. They were blaming Dadi, they were blaming the Yagya. They said, see, you told me to do this and now look what my state is. And so Dadi learned from that. And there were many things like that where Dadi adjusted and changed and, you know, even of course when she first came to London, for her to be able to, you know, be with Westerners. And live with Westerners, because at that time she was living with Sister Denise, Sister Wadi, and the brothers, Charlie, and you know, and they all came as gypsies actually, right? And, you know, had different manners and behaviors, and, but you know, Dadi adjusted with all that and just gave lots of love. But anyway, back to this point, what I'm saying is Dadi started feeling also that it's time to make this one more responsible. Because when I make my decision from inside, right, I develop that confidence. And I think that's what the Yagya has been encouraging. It's not like you go to a guru anymore and the guru says, right, do this, and you leave it to him. And you take no responsibility. It's not like that. That is still bhakti. But Gyan says, you think, like, what's the right thing to do? And then you put it to Dadi. Dadi, this is happening, this is what I think. And then you take the blessing. This is the difference between then and now. So we are encouraged to think, but it has to come from that sense of self-worth. You know, not to just abandon that and hand it over to somebody more senior to us. This is also part of that self-esteem, cultivating that inner self-esteem, self-worth. Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is the self-esteem method is a slow drip method. You know, when I exercise the vices and I get angry and I tell you, okay, do that, and they'll do it. The job will get done, you know. When I'm angry and I'm bossy and I'm arrogant and I say, do that, and yes, it will get done. But will it get done again? No. They'll do it then because, okay, you know, it had to get done. They're saving Baba's face. But to work with love, that's the slow drip method. You know the drip that they put on your hand? So drip by drip. So this is what, again, Baba did, the Dadis did from, you know, the stories I was sharing this morning. Like, they knew that it takes time, but just believe in the soul. Just believe in the soul. Just love the soul. Just be patient. And I can only be that if I am that inside. Right? I can only be patient if I have that patience with my sanskars, with myself. So, this is, I think, along the lines we have to think of when it comes to caring for others, giving of myself to others. Do I have enough in me to give? Or am I still wanting from them? Try a day without wanting anything. Try 24 hours without wanting anything, without wanting a thank you, without wanting a smile, without expecting the door to be kept open, or because these subtle expectations are really quite high. We don't realize how accustomed we are. And we say, at least they should do that. But even that at least will make me fall. At least they should be nice. At least they should be kind. At least they should be sweet. At least they should have asked me, at least, you know? But that at least is me hanging on to that hope. Because I don't value myself. I don't accept myself. Okay, so I'm looking for approval from outside because I'm not valuing myself. So if you call me, then I think, oh, I'm valuable, I'm important. If you invite me, then, oh, I must be an important person that you've invited me to your party. Right? So, this is how I'm reading into all of this. If you ask me, oh, you like me, you appreciate me. If you invite me, if you give me your seat, oh, I must be somebody. But this is still, I'm basing it on what others think. And my measure is not the same as their measure. We're not using the same scale. My scale of self-respect or respect for myself is based on here, on how soul conscious I am and how much I love myself. That is not my measure of scale. How much physical achievement or physical approval or physical confirmation. That's why I keep saying, work on your stage, work on your stage. Work on the soul, develop the soul. Develop the qualities of the soul. Love yourself. So if nobody else loves you, it doesn't matter. You love yourself. But I don't think nobody will love you. If you love yourself, everyone will love you. Because your energy is that energy that everybody wants to be surrounded by. That love, that confidence, that worthiness. Everybody wants that feeling. So you will vibrate that energy. Okay. Are you a peach or are you a coconut? Which one are you? Do you want to be a peach or a coconut? Peach? Okay. Tell me about the peach. Huh? Soft? Can't hear you. Soft outside and inside. Well, the peach is soft outside and has a very strong seed inside, right? And the coconut? Hard and ugly outside, but soft inside. So what do you want to be? Huh? Coconut? Of course, there's a place for each of them. But I think we need to be more like the peach. So be soft and gentle from the outside, but be strong from the inside. Have a strong core inside. Be strong from the inside. So even when you do gym, you know, when you do the training or when you work on the machines, right? What are they teaching you? They're teaching you first to build your core. You have to build your core because then when you lift weights or something like that, you know, you don't break your back and don't do something to your knees. So here too, we're building our inner spiritual core, which is what I was saying in the morning. When Baba got the sisters so young, he cleaned out their chit. Imagine the coconut. He cleaned out the inside of that. And that's why there was no trace of any vice. So their instantaneous reflex response was kindness, innocence, purity, love. They had no trace of any old sanskar. That's what Baba did those first 14 years. Every day, breaking, crushing their ego. Remember that kacheri, the court? Remember? And at the end of the day after Baba's class in the evening in history hall, Baba would say, okay, who did something wrong today? Stand up and say it. That was another ego crusher, right? Like, okay, I have to say, okay, I didn't do my chores, okay, I had extra banana, okay, I stole my toli, you know, whatever it was, I had to confess that. Okay, if that person didn't confess, what was the next question? Who saw that person do it? And now it's not only crush of your ego, but you lost a friend. Because this person has to confess now. So all these acts, you know, of cleaning the floor and washing the clothes and bringing the coal and, you know, fixing the cars and everything the sisters did. The dadis, our dadis did all that. And it was all ego crushing. So Baba worked on them because he knew that, you know, in 50 years' time, they would be the ones sitting on the stage, being the heads of the organization. So back to, yeah, coconut or peach. You can be tough from the outside, which is you can be arrogant, but then mostly, okay, so five definitions of self-esteem. Number one. How we think about ourselves. Can we have music? A little light music? So answer these questions. Let's have some questions now. Self-esteem is how we think about ourselves. So I want you to write down. how do you think of yourself? And write whatever comes. There's no right or wrong here. Just write a few lines about how you think of yourself. And this can be in regard to how we hold our actions, our talents, our skills. So what do I think about myself? Next question. Self-esteem is about having the courage to try again. So when I fail, do I have that courage to try again? So just look back on that chart of yours from the morning. Any failures? And have you lifted yourself up again? Because there's a saying that it's not how many times we fall, but how many times we've picked ourselves up and how quickly we've picked ourselves up. So second question is the courage to try again. How much courage do I have to try again? Yeah, that's the question. So as you're thinking, I will share something else. So once we were in Bahrain for a retreat, and somebody asked Sister Jenti, do you have any bad days? And Sister Jenti said, I don't have bad days, I have bad moments. And what she meant is something can happen, but immediately then, in the next moment, in the next 5 minutes, you're able to turn it around. Right? So you don't stay stuck. Some people, something bad happens and they're thinking about it all day and all week and all month and then next 10 years. So no, the ability to get over it, that courage, this is the self-esteem. So we all make mistakes, we all do things that, you know, we may not be happy about, but then the courage to pick ourselves up again. So just measure your courage. Okay, first question, think about your self-esteem. Second, courage regarding self-esteem. Third question. Is your sense of worthiness, that you're worthy to receive? So put a percentage to that or any words around that. Do I feel I'm worthy to receive? How worthy can I say I feel? In terms of Baba's language, in terms of Baba's measure. How much self-worth do I have? Because this is also very subtle. If I feel I deserve, then even the universe will bring to me. Even the universe will say, give it to her, because she's waiting for it. She's waiting out for it. She knows how to use it. So whether it's wealth, whether it's friends, whether it's love, whether it's respect. The universe will say, yeah. That's how we attract. That's how we attract in life. When I feel I deserve, I'm worthy to receive, then that thing comes to me. When I don't value myself, I don't feel worthy of receiving, I'm pushing that, I'm repelling that thing away. Yeah, it's very subtle. So that's where I feel like, you know, all Brahmins, I mean, really if we're working on our thought level, and our effort in Raj Yoga is all about working with our thoughts and energy, so why aren't we attracting what we want in our life? Our yoga can attract what we want in our life. It's a question of time, but it can attract what we want. And that comes from a sense of self-worth, that I deserve. Yeah, I deserve a good place to live. I deserve a good job with good people around. I deserve a good enough income where I'm not struggling. I deserve enough money that I'm able to make my ticket to Madhuban. This is worth. This is shan, you know? Not I'm struggling to make the ticket. Not I'm struggling to survive. Not I have to watch every penny, like, oh, should I buy soya milk or not? Should I buy an avocado or not? No. Live like you have abundance and the abundance will come. But this comes from a sense of self-worth. Okay, number four. Number four is, what is the language of self-esteem? So write down, what are the ways in which you talk to yourself? How do you talk to yourself? Are you nice to yourself? Do you encourage yourself? Do you put yourself down a lot? Do you think you're stupid? Do you think you can't do it? Do you think it's impossible for you to have? Just take a moment to look at the, you know, general, like, array of thoughts that you have. This all comes from the way you feel about yourself, how you think you can cope with situations, the power to cope with situations. Because there's a saying, right? If you think you're right, you're right. If you think you're wrong, you're also right. If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're also right. Because you're proving both of them with your thought energy. Okay. And number five. Self-esteem is about really knowing your strengths and focusing on them. So I'd like you to at least make a list of 5, if not 10, strengths from inside, not just skills, because skills we know we can develop, and we're Brahmins. So I want you to tune into what is your quality. Maybe you have a certain quality or certain power. Maybe you're a very tolerant person. Maybe you're a very patient person. Maybe you care. Maybe you, you know, can spend hours with a sick person. Whatever. I mean, look at the qualities from inside. What do you have? And that is your strength. Yeah, be nice to yourself. So we're talking about self-esteem, not ego. So you can come up with your strengths. Okay, last question. The invisible power of belief. So there are some certain beliefs that you're holding on to that don't allow you to develop your self-esteem. Can you try looking into those beliefs? So like a belief should be, especially in Gyan we think, oh, but I have my seniors, you know, I can't possibly do that, or I can't have that, or I can't be so deserving because my seniors should have that. They're at that stage. So that's a belief I've created, that this stage or this kind of law of attraction is only for them and not me. Like when we were in London growing up, we had Dadi, Sudeshben and Jentiben. And they were the ones who were teaching all the time. None of us ever read the Murli, none of us... Yeah, we gave the course. We started giving the course in the 80s, 90s. But we could never think that we could read the Murli because we thought, oh no, that's something for them. And now, all the young girls read the Murli in London. Because they've moved on and another generation has come up. So that's broken some myth, right? I mean, look at in Madhuban now. Where are the seniors? Who reads the Murli? We used to have dadis reading the Murli. Different dadi every day would read the Murli. But now it's the next generation. So things change. So anyway, back to beliefs. Certain beliefs that are blocking me from having that pure self-esteem. That pure sense of self-worth. That I can, I'm able, I can do it. So what is that? Okay, I'll stop here now. We'll talk about this in a minute. So those of you who need time, take a bit more time. But I also want to say that, you know, sometimes we find that it's easier to just do the job than to have the rubbing of sanskars. You have this experience? You think, you know what, I'll just do the job myself. Rather than to get into some ego trip with somebody else. Anybody had that experience? Yeah. So how to deal with that? I mean, what to say to myself? What's the benefit in trying to create this wrath of sanskars? The dance of sanskars, as opposed to just, okay, I'll do it myself. Okay, let's look at, if I do it myself, what happens if I'm just going to do it myself? What happens? We're not going to learn, nor is the other one going to learn. There's only so much you can do. And this is how instruments then, you know, they wear themselves out, because they're doing all the time. They get tired, they get fatigued, because they're the ones, you know, who have to do it all. Okay, any other answers? What if I decide I'm just going to do it, I don't want to bother about others? You'll do it accurately. Really? It becomes your task rather than Baba's. Yeah. You feel overburdened, pressured. Huh? Yeah, overburdened, pressured. Other people. Yeah. If you keep doing it, others won't realize their potential. Good. Okay, and then what's the benefit of harmonizing? Growth, change, unity, cooperation, you know, working together, it creates family. Again? They feel closer to Baba because they feel more involved. Synergy. Joy of working together. They feel engaged and they feel valued. I mean, they feel I'm valued because they've been included. Okay. Huh? Joy of teamwork. Family. Family feeling. Yeah. Crushes, that's the main point. Crushes your ego, yeah, this is the main point. So we say, right, if you resist, it persists, right? And we do, we resist because the pain of dealing with it is greater than the pain of doing the job ourselves. Do you see? The pain of, I mean, we don't want to work with them. And we'd rather take on the burden because that burden is less painful than trying to solve this sanskar dispute. But if there's any one karmic account outstanding, it's going to stop us from, well, attaining our karmatit stage, but also getting to heaven. Any one karmic account. So that's a big motivator why we should really try and resolve. You know, there shouldn't be any one person actually niggling on my mind that this person, I can't get on with this person. And so if you can't get on with that person, what you can do is at least send love and good wishes. One of the things that I'm using lately is, okay, this person might be doing something to me. Okay, and I might be innocent. I think I'm innocent. And I think this one is the bad one. But we don't know what we've done to that person in another lifetime. We don't know what we've done to anyone in our previous lifetime. So let us not have the ego of being right, the ego of being good, the ego of being better than them, because we don't know. We might have done something worse to them in the previous lifetime. So let me humble to it now. And the only way to resolve this account is to just send good wishes. There's no other way. Just send good wishes to this person. Let me keep my heart clean. Let me have good wishes. And that's all you can do. Whether they're right or wrong, doesn't matter. My job is to keep my heart clean and just to send good wishes. Okay, so go through these few steps and then we'll have a little break and then some meditation. Okay, number one, accept yourself. Right? You are as you are now. You are as a result of every moment that has led up to this moment. So if you don't accept any part of yourself, that means you're being rude to yourself, right? You're insulting yourself. That means you don't accept the decisions you made. You're not respecting. Think about it. You can't change the past. So accept. Accept what's happened up till now. Accept yourself where you're at. Anybody has regrets about their life? Okay, if you have regrets, then again, even more reason to love yourself. Say to yourself that, you know, those were the decisions I could make at that time, knowing what I knew then. I could only make that decision because that's all I knew then. Now I know better. Now I can make a different decision. But just accept yourself for that. Okay, get to know yourself, as Karen was saying today. Take out time, sit with yourself. And you know, I want to say that when we just had this IPIP retreat, the majority of the feedback was silence day. A lot of the forms, like 95% of the forms, commented on how they appreciated the silence day. And somebody said, I thought I'm going to get bored. Somebody said, I thought I'm going to get scared. But the day just passed so beautifully. And they realized a lot. So we need that silence. We need that solitude. We need to take time out for ourselves. Be with ourselves. Learn to love your own company. We don't need others all the time with us. You know, when I was living in Turkey, because I'd always lived in a big family, I'd always lived in London. Then when I went to Vancouver, I was living with 5 people in the center. Then when I came to Istanbul, I was the only one in the center. And of course, there was only 5 students. And they would come and go. They'd leave before 8 o'clock. So I and me and myself all day. And that was a real, like, it was a process. I used to go out for a walk 3 times a day. Just to, you know, feel the world. To be in touch with the world. But through that, you know, intense loneliness, I really learned to love my own company. So on hindsight, I'm grateful for that, period. And they don't speak the language. That first year I couldn't speak any Turkish. Then I learned Turkish. But you can't communicate with anyone, can't make friends because you don't have the language. You're always dependent on these few students. So, really. Yeah, know yourself. Approve yourself. Start to create a habit of self-approval. You start saying to yourself, yes, what I've done is good. It's good enough. Yeah, when you decorate, are you happy with it? Yes. When you made a flower arrangement, are you happy with it? Don't wait for others. Don't wait for them to say, oh, what a nice dining arrangement. What a nice... No. This is where we're setting ourselves up for sorrow. Yeah, we do it and then we want to hear, like at the back of our mind, we want to hear the comments. How was it? How was it? And when they don't say it, we get hurt, we get upset. And then what do we say? I'm not doing it next time. But who did you do it for? You did it for yourself, no? You did it because it's good karma. You did it because you thought it's the right thing to do. You put your heart and soul into it. And everything is creating ambience. What if the person here didn't put this sheet? We don't have to go tell him that put the sheet. But he put the sheet and it creates an ambience, right? There's a different feeling. So everything we do, it is being appreciated. It is being valued. Just understand that. Tell yourself, yes, it's being appreciated. I appreciate it, others are appreciating. Don't wait for that verbal cue. Oh, Aruna, oh, you did such a great job. Yeah, so approve of yourself. And then empower yourself. By what is Baba teaching us? How to empower ourselves? Huh? Yeah, elevated thoughts, pure thoughts. Really, create few thoughts and powerful thoughts. Don't get into waste. Don't get into expansion. This all drains our energy. Close all the drains. Close all the drains. Stop looking at others. When we sit in yoga, you sit, okay, now we will sit half an hour in yoga. Check, how much power are you accumulating? Okay, it's like, say, this thermos. How full is it? And then check, between now and then the night, how much power seeped away? Looking at that, wanting that, yum yum food, lovely, good company, oh, nice bed, oh, sleep time. Check how much power drained away. So is more draining away than is it being accumulated? Check. Right? Empower yourself. Improve yourself. Always say to yourself, yes, I can always learn, I can always grow. Be open to the correction. Be open to the learning. Don't we want to become perfect? Have we not, in a subtle way, accepted the pledge to become perfect? Yeah? Sorry, is anybody perfect sitting here? No. So we've taken on this challenge that we want to become perfect. So isn't it great that we are being knocked and banged and chiseled to become perfect? No? That's the attitude, really. Have that strong sense of, okay, fine, great, yeah. What's going wrong is right. What's going wrong is right. Right is right anyway, but what is maybe going wrong is also right, something for me to learn from. And don't ignore people's comments. Just take it on. You might not need it now, but something for you to check and observe. Okay, calm yourself. So, what I mean here is, yeah, the arrogant person like jumps in, reacts. You know, always thinks they're right, right? That kind of thing. So the one with self-esteem, just take your time. Just focus on being calm in your response. Take your time. Don't have to respond right away, even with messages, emails, you know? Sometimes what happens, you get a WhatsApp and immediately. But wait an hour, maybe you will feel differently. You respond differently when you're calmer. If you react, then again another chain of something else. So yeah, just take the time, take deep breaths, relax, find that peace within you, and then this is also part of valuing the self, respecting the self. And then finally, be yourself. Really, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to copy anyone. This is not an organization of clones. Each one is encouraged to be themselves. So yeah, if you're vocal, be vocal. If you're expressive, be expressive. Don't let the expressive one try to be quiet. You see? Just be yourself. Be nice, be kind, but be yourself. Don't try to be like a yogi, you know, like, there's some people who try to be like serious, like the yogi. It doesn't work in the long run. You will get tired of the pretense. You get tired of the mask. Yeah, I have flaws, I have faults, yeah. But I am who I am. So yeah, I want to say that this is not an easy path. Yeah, we have very high aims on this path, and it is a work in progress. Actually, it's not. And crushing our ego is not an overnight thing that you can just tick in the box and say, "Yeah, I crush my ego." No, because as we notice from that chart, there'll be another ego and another ego and another ego, you know? Just as an ego is dying at every moment, an ego is taking birth. So, this is what Brahma Baba had to be careful of as well. So again, just to try and be this, you know, detached observer. So here's another few points from the Murli. So Baba said, be antarmukt, right, introverted, avyakt, and alaukik. Don't mix laukik and alaukik. When you are introvert and alaukik, then people will have visions of an angel from you. Now become a resident of the subtle region instead of going and coming there. Make your state subtle, and then you will experience the subtle region. Okay. Want a little dance now? Then I'll read some more during the meditation, yeah? Murlis. Want a little dance? Want a little break? Yeah? Okay. Want to stand up? Put your things down, stand up, take a deep breath. Actually, aapke paas hai, mere paas wo nahi hai na cable. Kuch loud dance music baja sakte ho? Yeah. Yeah, you can use this as a bathroom break as well. Who would like to come on stage? Some of you come on stage. Come, give me company.
So you did the workshop for crushing the ego. Anybody still has ego? Anybody doesn't have ego? Come up. Come up if you don't have ego. Yeah, come on. Let's see how many people actually succeeded, because this is your test now. If you don't have ego, you'll come in front. Yes, come on. Let's go.
how many passed, Arif? All of them? Yeah, really, you can see, right, how we got to just let go. Let go of trying to be a good dancer. Okay, we'll have meditation now, lights and some music. So I'm going to just read out a few more excerpts from the Murali, and then a little commentary, and then just silence. So this is 21st of January 1969. So the Murali is, Baba renounced the body, but not his hand and his company. When you came at the beginning of the establishment of the Yajna, all of you were made to write a letter of your faith. You used to write about having the faith that even if Brahma were to go away, your stage and your faith would remain unshakable. Do you remember those letters of faith? Faith means there isn't the slightest form of doubt in any situation or at the time of any obstacles. Faith means there isn't the slightest form of doubt in any situation or at the time of any obstacle. Situations have to change and they will continue to change. But all of you sing the song, even if the world changes, we will remain constant. And so do all of you who are sitting in today's gathering have such faith in the intellect. Your mama always used to tell all of you that all the supports that your faith has had up until now will be removed. And that even after having had them removed, the foundation should still be strong. If the foundation is not strong, the supports are necessary. Which supports? You must not let go of Baba's support, the family's support, or that of the disciplines of the family. Faith must not be broken by the testing scenes that come in front of you. Faith is unbreakable. It cannot be broken even if someone tries to break it. Those with such faith in the intellect are the garland around Baba's neck. All the things that have been said, to remember them at the right time is fast effort. Bap Dada has decorated the children so much, and so have the children not yet worn all the decorations. A day had to come when you would remember those decorations from Bap Dada. That time is now. Because he is egoless and humble, he himself used to tell many children, "I have not yet become complete. I have not yet become constantly soul conscious." Even now the task of establishment is Brahma's, not yours. Even now you children will be sustained through Brahma. Brahma's part will continue until the end of the establishment. You should become an angel, you should become karmatit, so that the Father is revealed. So the special method to become an angel or to create the incorporeal karmatit stage is to become egoless. Only one who is egoless can become incorporeal. This is why the last mantra that the Father gave through Brahma was, together with being incorporeal, be egoless. The arrogance of the body and body consciousness is not just being trapped in your body or that of others. This alone is not called arrogance of the body or body consciousness. There is arrogance of the body and also body consciousness. To be aware of your own body and those of others. To have attachment to it. The majority of you have passed in this. For those who have deep love for effort, those who are true effort makers are beyond this gross form. However, there are many subtle forms of body consciousness. Make a list of these amongst yourselves. Bhaktada is not going to tell you this today. This much signal is enough for you today, because all of you are sensible. Always remember and keep in your thoughts, words, deeds, relationships and connections the last mantra of the three words, incorporeal, egoless and viceless. When you create any thought, check whether it is full of the great mantra, egoless, incorporeal, viceless. In the same way, keep the three words in your words and actions. Let there be equality. This is easy, is it not? You are not being told to remember the whole Murli, but just three words. This great mantra will make your thoughts elevated. It will put humility into your words and the feeling of serving in your actions. It will constantly create an attitude of good wishes and elevated feelings in your relationships and connections. just reflect on the day today. And what has been your greatest learning? What are the ways in which I'm going to increase my self-respect, self-esteem? It's the greatest act of love, to love the self. It's the greatest act of respect, to respect the self. Be kind to yourself. Speak kind words to yourself. If my mind is a temple, then it has to be kept pure and clean. Only then can I hold the remembrance of Baba. If there is any pap, that is sin, there cannot be Bap, the Father. So no matter what anybody does, let me hold on to my true self-respect. I'm only responsible for my own self-respect. So I leave you alone now with Baba. Talk to him. Share the secrets of your heart with him. And really, wherever you put your attention, your focus, you will succeed. Just a final line. Make it a hobby to create your stage. Make it a hobby to want to create your stage. Om Shanti.